Thanks for joining us. Tonight, the two versions of one searing story of the moments before Breonna Taylor was shot and killed by police. One from her boyfriend, the other from one of the officers involved. Sergeant Mattingly sitting down in this ABC News Courier Journal exclusive, shedding new light on that fateful night, now at the center of so many conversations about race and policing. Here now, GMA co-anchor Michael Strahan.
I wish we'd done it different for the simple fact that you don't want anybody's life to be lost. You don't want that. Nobody wants anybody to have to be buried because of you.
It was a volley of shots in a dark hallway that would take Breonna Taylor's life and reignite calls for racial justice around the country.
Breonna Taylor!
For the first time, Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly, one of the officers inside that Louisville apartment,
I'm gonna grab his legs, put it in the truck,
sharing his account of what happened that night.
I feel for her. I hurt for her mother, for her sisters. It's not just a passing, oh, this is part of the job, we did it, move on. It's not like that. I mean, Breonna Taylor is now attached to me for the rest of my life. And that's not, again, woe is me. That's me feeling for them.
And I'm kind of taken back because that's the first time I think I've heard that or anyone has heard you say anything about her mother and what they have to go through.
We've had a gag order on us for 7 months. We've not been allowed to talk. I would love to have talked months ago.
Her name, her story, a rallying cry amidst the summer of unrest.
Say her name!
Breonna!
But even as her name spurred nationwide calls for action, the details of the night she died have remained in question. Tonight, two accounts from each side of the door, both conducted in rented spaces to allow for social distancing,
I'll see it.
And detailing the final moments of a violent encounter.
She's done. We'll keep one person here on her.
That ended in tragedy and helped inspire a movement. It was a quiet Friday night. Taylor, a 26-year-old aspiring nurse, was spending the evening in her Louisville home with their boyfriend, Kenneth Walker.
It was a normal day. We went out to eat. We was just chilling, playing Uno, you know, watching a movie. Uno didn't last that long. Didn't even get to finish. And then she was falling asleep, and so was I.
At the same time, Louisville narcotics officers are executing multiple search warrants in connection with a suspected drug ring. Authorities have said they believed an ex-boyfriend of Taylor's, Jamarcus Glover, an alleged drug dealer, was storing drugs and money at her apartment. Glover has denied these allegations.
Who were you expecting when you went to the apartment that night? Did you expect Breonna to be there by herself?
I did. We expected Breonna by herself. They did say in the brief that they weren't sure about children and dogs. I remember banging on the door. First time didn't announce. Just hoping she would come to the door so everything was quiet, neighbors wouldn't come out.
Can you hear anything from inside the apartment?
Not at that point. After the first bang, nothing happened. I banged again. We started yelling. I did. Nobody else yelled. I yelled, please search warrant, please search warrant.
Yeah, how many times do you yell that?
It was probably three times each with each bang.
Mm-hmm.
There was a total of six bangs, six different knocks at the door.
There were seven officers on the scene that night. Mattingly claimed that one officer said he thought he heard movement inside the apartment.
He said, stop, I can hear somebody coming up to the door. So we stop, we listen, nobody says anything. We yell again, please search warrant, open the door if you're there, please search warrant. Finally, I look back at my lieutenant who's in the stack back here. And he goes, go ahead and hit it.
They were initially there to execute a no-knock warrant. Sometime before, it had been verbally changed to a knock and announce.
Even on no-knock warrants, you announce, because we don't want to get shot either.
I was kind of dozing off. Breonna screamed out, who is it? Because that was her apartment. There was another loud bang. She's still saying, who is it, the whole time. I'm saying, who is it now? Because nobody's answering. It's too late for anybody to be knocking on the door. I grab my gun. Then we proceed to go answer the door. And when we get right in the doorway of the bedroom, the door flies open.
I could see the living room to my right. So I could see the tan couches, the living room, the door, but I couldn't see down the hall because I'm on the left side of the door.
Were there any lights on in the apartment?
No, just the TV back there. We have lights on guns. So at this point, we're yelling, please search warrant, please search warrant. I step in the door frame to clear the hallway. I can see two figures.
How far away from you?
About 20, 25 feet. My eyes went straight to the barrel of this gun. I could see the tip of it. And my eyes just focused in on it.
Protect Brianna, protect myself. That's what was going through my head. So I let out one shot, you know, at the ground. I'm figuring it's intruders or somebody trying to break in and harm us. They felt the need to kick the door, so they were pretty serious.
Everything happened in milliseconds. Boom, the sound, the feel in my leg. I mean, it was just instant. And as soon as I felt the smack on my leg and the heat, boom, 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 with return shots, four shots.
When you were firing your shot, what was your intent?
To stop the threat, whatever that was.
Protect yourself.
Yes, yeah, I wanted to get home to my family.
Walker, a legal gun owner, fired one shot. Three officers returned fire.
There were 30 shots in return. So is that usual protocol from one shot to just 30 shots? A lot of people would look and say, man, that seems a little bit excessive.
It does seem like a lot. And let's get one thing straight. He wasn't shooting at the ground a warning shot. He was in a stretched out two hand.
And what do you mean stretched out?
He's pushed out with two hands looking straight at me. I saw his gun. Our postures were the same looking at each other when he fired that shot.
Walker and his attorneys dispute that account.
It was just a hell of gunfire. I grabbed Brianna and I dropped to the ground and I was holding her hand while we went down. And then it's just gunshots for however long. And it was coming from every direction.
I reached down and felt my leg and I could feel a handful of blood in the heat. And I thought, man, it's my femoral artery.
An FBI ballistics report said it was Walker's bullet that struck Mattingly, but Walker disputes this.
What's going through your mind?
I've got to get a tourniquet on it or I'm going to die.
With the tourniquet applied, Mattingly was loaded into an ambulance.
Put him in the trunk. Put him in the trunk.
But in the apartment, Walker tried to get help for Brianna, who was shot and bleeding.
I grabbed my phone. You know, I'm still right there with Brianna holding her. But at this point, now I got to do something. I have to call somebody or do something because I can't do anything just sitting right here holding her. So I called my mother. Then she told me to call 911.
911, Operator Harris, where is your emergency?
I don't know what's happening. Somebody kicked in the door inside my girlfriend.
So she alert and able to talk to you?
No, she's not. Breathe. God, I'm pissed.
There's no reason at all, to my knowledge, that the police should have been at Breonna Taylor's apartment.
Keep coming back, sir.
Minutes after that call, Walker comes outside with his hands up, captured on body camera footage from officers responding to the shooting.
Walker! Make your hands in the air, get down on your knees!
What did I do?
What did I do?
Who else in the apartment?
Nobody, my girlfriend's dead.
There's somebody in there dead?
Yeah, my girlfriend.
Who was shooting at us?
It was her house.
I'm confused, trying to figure out why guns is pointed at me. And I'm thinking they're there to help me, but really, they were the ones who just hurt me.
The gun's legal, everything. We don't...
You know, shocked, hurt, and pain, whatever you can think of.
Oh, watch out! Hey, watch the kitchen. Watch
SWAT
the kitchen.
Officers head inside, clearing the home, finding Taylor's body in the hallway.
Go ahead and get EMS in.
Let me check the pulse.
Ma'am, can you hear us? Louisville Metro Police Department. Check that wrist, dude. Check the wrist.
Walker was arrested and later charged with attempted murder of a police officer. Those charges were later dropped.
Even with me being in cuffs and I'm in the back of the police car and everything, every time they try to talk to me, that's all I'm asking them. Is she okay? Like, what's going on with her? And nobody was telling me anything. Nobody seemed to be concerned about her but me.
During the execution of the warrant, only one officer was wearing a body camera, but it wasn't turned on because Mattingly said it wasn't police procedure in these types of situations.
Do you believe if you had body cameras, this wouldn't have happened?
No, the incident would have still happened, but it would have been shown on camera what happened. This wouldn't even be an issue. This wouldn't be a case. You'd never hear about it.
How would you have done it differently if you could have?
We would have either served the no-knock warrant or we would have done the normal thing we do, which is 5 to 10 seconds, to not give people time to formulate a plan, not give people time to get their senses so they have an idea of what they're doing. Because if that had happened, I'm telling you, Mike, if that had happened, Breonna Taylor would be alive.
You believe she'd be alive if that had happened? If you had just stormed in?
Yes.
And not given them time?
I do.
Madeline, in part, puts the blame on Walker.
The scenario, the way it was set up, the scene, the impossible situation that Kenneth Walker put her in that hallway, with this narrow hallway, shooting from it, him diving out. I'm assuming she was trying to follow him in the room. I don't know that for sure, but that's what makes sense. He put her in an impossible situation.
Do you feel Kenneth Walker is responsible for her death?
I think there's a few people responsible. I think he is.
But Kenneth Walker says he is a protector.
Your actions are sometimes still to blame, whether you did it intentionally or not.
But to Walker, the blame lies with the officers who fired inside that hallway.
His words are incredible. So anything he says is irrelevant. Whoever shot her is responsible for her death. Whoever allowed them to come there and do that, they're responsible.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
For months, most of the country did not even know the name Breonna Taylor.
Say her name!
But George Floyd's death sparked nationwide calls for racial justice. The spotlight moving to other cases overlooked or forgotten, like hers.
There have been marches, there have been protests, a lot of them demanding for you and the other officers to be arrested and charged. What was your feelings watching all that unfold after this?
Mostly frustration. And the frustration came from our command and from the mayor's office because there was so much disinformation out. Because this is not relatable to a George Floyd. This is nothing like it. It's not an Ahmaud Arbery. It's nothing like it. These are two totally different type incidences. It's not a race thing, like people want to try to make it to be. It's not. This is a point where we're doing our job. This is not kneeling on a neck. This is nothing like that.
As pressure mounted, a grand jury was called to see whether Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly and two other officers would face charges. The night before the decision, Mattingly sent an email to his colleagues, writing, quote, "I know we did the legal, moral, and ethical thing that night. It's sad how the good guys are demonized and criminals are canonized."
So who are the good guys and who are the criminals that you're talking about?
You look at a George Floyd. What happened to him is tragic. It was horrible. Everybody looked at that and said, wrong, bad, disgusting. And what happens? They end up getting locked up, which in my opinion, and I don't know the ins and outs of the case, but in my opinion, that was the right call, whether he died of an overdose or whatever. But what happened after that? In my opinion, George Floyd was not a model citizen.
It's very hard for me to sit here hearing George Floyd died of an open overdose. He died because someone was kneeling on his neck for minutes.
And I agree with that.
In regards to him being a model citizen or not, he didn't deserve that. No one deserved that.
Nobody said he did.
So
I just demonized it. I said it's horrible.
In Breonna Taylor's case, the grand jury charged now former officer Brett Hankinson with endangering neighbors when he opened fire, but not in connection with Taylor's death. He's pled not guilty. One juror now saying they didn't hear evidence relating to the other officers involved.
And what went through your head? You found out you were not indicted.
My wife cried. I was just, oh my goodness, you know, this part's over.
Well, I heard about the grand jury decision shortly after, really, but I kind of figured it would end up like that, probably. Just because that's the way things go, like, it's the police. So
I'm not going to sit here and act like playing the big victim card, but I mean, I was a victim in this as well. My family has been a victim in this. They have had to go in hiding. They have had death threats. I mean, I've got a little kid that has been affected by this. So it's not just when somebody sits back and accuses somebody they don't know of being a racist and being a dirty cop and being a murderer, when that's not the case. That does affect you.
You were called racist.
Mm-hmm.
Are you racist?
No, not at all. I grew up in the West End, which is the urban area of Louisville. I didn't understand the racial injustices as a kid because my friends were black. It didn't click to me that there was this visceral hate out there. I didn't know it. So when somebody calls me a racist, I do take it offensive.
Do you think there is a racist divide between the community and the LMPD?
I think there are people who stir things up and make it more of that, because when you're dealing with criminal element, you know, you talk about racial profiling. Good police, anyway, police I've worked with, don't racial profile. You criminal profile. Let's address the fact that just because you're black, you're a threat. It's not the case. I'm not scared of you.
Well, that's how black men feel. That's how black women feel.
But does that make it real?
If it's because how you feel, then it's real.
No, not necessarily.
And it's not just a feeling. Statistics show that in Louisville, black drivers were stopped more often and three times as likely to be searched than their white counterparts, echoing nationwide trends. In the months since Taylor's death, Breonna's law was passed in her hometown of Louisville, banning no-knock warrants. And the city awarded her family a $12 million settlement on a wrongful death lawsuit without admitting fault. But for those who love Breonna Taylor, that night in March stole something they can never get back.
Well, it's changed my life and my family's life forever. I can never have a normal life. This is not normal. I would say I want justice for Breonna, but I mean, there's really no justice for Breonna for me besides Breonna being right here, so.
Be sure to tune in for complete coverage of the final presidential debate tomorrow night, starting at 8 o'clock, 7 central, right here on ABC. That's Nightline for tonight. We'll see you right back here at the same time. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.